Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on raw milk update right after this. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? And that's because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent? And that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments and even put 22 principles of that law into our Constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law or the Law of God or the Common Law or Natural Law or you call it karma or something else, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Now, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about raw milk. And I said when we started this little escapade that I think that you ought to have both sides to the story. Only 1% of the milk consumed in the United States of America is raw. So 99% of the milk in this country is pasteurized, homogenized, treated. It's baked, cooked, and it's fixed, and it's safe. At least that's what we're being told. And I took up the subject and said, well, wait a minute, that's not true. That's a damn lie, but you know, that's what most people believe. And I'm not here to persuade 99% of the milk drinkers of America that they've made a mistake. Actually, about 12% of Americans would like to buy raw milk. They don't know how. They don't know where to get it. And if you want to educate yourself, that is just the 12%. Now, the other 88% of you that don't want to drink it, hell, forget it. We're not trying to get you to get onto some bandwagon over here, but there's a large number of people. Now, if you take 300 million people and you take 12% of them, that's 36 million. 36 million of you people out there would like to buy and consume raw milk. You don't because, number one, you don't know where to get it, how to get it, where it's legal, where it's illegal, and what to do in the interim. So let's see if we can't solve that problem for you today. There's a publication out here called www.realmilk.com, and they've got a caption here that says, what's happening with real milk? And this came off of a Google search. So if you just went to Google and said, well, raw milk or milk and whatever, I think you'd probably come up with www.realmilk.com. And then you want an article here entitled, What's Happening with Real Milk? And they're going to tell you a little story here. In an attempt to help consumers find locally produced real milk, we have compiled the following list describing the potential availability and legal situation on a state-by-state and country-by-country basis. We cannot vouch for the accuracy of the following list. If you have corrections or additions, please email them to info@westonaprice.org. See the Where section for a listing of dairies by state and country. Now, this is a 27-page article. 27 pages. And it'll tell you what the state law in your state is. Now, I want to emphasize the trick to doing this, and I'm a law school instructor now. See, I'm the guy that's up here teaching the lawyers and teaching the businessmen of America. One of them, not the only, but one of them. The trick to this is to obey the law of your state. First of all, we have a duty to obey the law of God. Second, the law of the United States. Third, the law of our state. If, for some reason, the law of your state or the law of your country violates the law of God, God tells you the answer to that one, too. He says, now obey me, and to hell with the state, and to hell with your federal government. You follow my instructions first. He said that in Acts 5, verse 29. And I think that that's a pretty safe course of action, because even our Supreme Court has said we have a higher loyalty than loyalty to this country, and that's loyalty to God. All of the major authorities, that is the Congress, the President of the United States, and God Almighty are in agreement that the law of God comes first. So let's take a look here in the Bible and find out, well, what did God have to say about pasteurized milk? What does God say about boiling milk? What does God say about his food or his food plan compared to the food plan of Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage, or the laws of your state, or the laws that come out of your legislature? And believe it or not, he's got quite a bit to say about that, and we'll cover that as we progress along. But I wanted to give you the 27-page article here, which I can't cover 27 pages in 1 hour. You know, I take one article here, and I cover the subject matter, you know, in one program, and okay, well, let's go on to another one, until we finally exhaust the subject matter, and then we have a 7-part series that'll just about tell you the story on raw milk. Or in this case, the raw milk update. Now, I've already given you the name and number of Acres USA, the place to start. Now, this Weston A. Price over here, remember, now is the outfit that promotes or was associated with the Pottinger experiments back in the 1920s and 30s, where they were feeding pasteurized milk to cats and turned them sterile in 4 generations. And now we've been feeding our children pasteurized milk for the last 4 or 5 generations, and now we got 28 million queers in the country. Has anybody ever been able to connect the dots? No, not yet, but I thought I'd connect a couple of them for you. So God in the Bible tells you about pasteurized milk, tells you about boiling milk. It's bad for you. 3 times, 3 statutes. Don't do that. But nobody listens to God. Nobody has yet. Nobody is now. And nobody's going to in the future. So let's make up our minds to it. Now, I say nobody. There's a few iconoclasts. There's always a couple of weird, wild-eyed fanatics running around out here, you know, like Elijah and Moses and a couple others, you know, that say, well, let's obey God and keep his commandments. But that's rare, very rare. All right, so this Weston A. Price over here, they've got a website. It's called the westonaprice.org. And in the United States, sales of raw milk are legal in 28 out of the 50 states. All right, so you can buy raw milk in 28 states. Now, 22 states you can't. Now, in those 22 states where you cannot legally buy raw milk, you can still buy raw milk, but you have to be crafty about it. Crafty. Not illegal now, but crafty. And then you can buy it. Now, it's not against the law for you to drink and consume raw milk. It's against the law for you to sell raw milk. See? Sales of raw milk are legal in 28 of the 50 states. Sales of raw milk are illegal in 22 states. The consumption of raw milk isn't illegal in any of the states. Now pay attention here, boys and girls. It's against the law for the farmer to sell you the raw milk. He can sell you the raw milk for pet food. He can sell you the raw milk because you have a share in the cow. Except in one or two states where they've outlawed that now. Which means you've got to be craftier yet. So if you're out here trying to sell milk in these 22 states, now that might be a real problem for you. So why don't we quit buying, selling, and trading in milk? Let's get out of commerce. That's where Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution comes in. And why don't we do private business? And instead of buying and selling and trading in raw milk, why don't we buy, sell, and trade in commodities and services? And why don't we use raw milk for some other purpose, which I'm not going to mention over the air, but, you know, if you want to learn how to do that, we'll teach you how. Now, you can write to your government leaders and let your voice be heard. You can find your state representatives and contact information here. That is, you can go to www.house.gov, and you can get real excited here, and you can get the state, you know, that you live in to change the law. I don't waste my time doing that. I've told you that time and again. I used to be a I used to be a lobbyist years ago, and I gave it up. It pays well. But I'm not interested in that anymore, and it doesn't do any good. Because if you're a lobbyist lobbying down here, you know, for clean, wholesome milk, you're just whistling Dixie through a straw hat. Now, if you're working for the Mid-America Dairymen and you're a lobbyist, that pays a lot of money, and you'll get a lot of success. Because money is the mother's milk of politics, and that's what politicians are interested in, money. As old Dan Rather used to say, just follow the money. Now, National News and USA Today, they carried an article on raw milk on August the 7th, complete with information on organic pastures, raw milk dairy in California, and the Weston A. Price Foundation's campaign for raw milk. And, of course, the article quotes the FDA officials likening the consumption of raw milk with playing Russian roulette with your health. But there were plenty of quotes from satisfied raw milk consumers. Internal Medicine News, which reaches 100,000 medical doctors, is planning to run a point-counterpoint piece on the question. Should physicians advise patients to avoid drinking raw milk? Our own Dr. Tom Cowan will be participating. And of course, we've talked about doctors and their official position from the AMA. They just don't endorse milk at all. They just say, well, we think milk's bad for you. See, the Weston A. Price people in their literature here, they say, well, these doctors are just ignorant and they don't know. And that's not true. These doctors are not ignorant, and these doctors all know what the benefits of raw milk are. They also know what the debilitating effects of pasteurized milk is. And so do the creameries, and so do the lobbyists on both sides of the issue. Hell, they're not dumb. They're all informed. Now, the reason that we're going to maintain the status quo with pasteurized milk is because of the profitability and the money that's involved in it. It's very difficult to get the status quo to move in one direction or the other. Now, I said that milk is mentioned in the Bible, so let's take a look at the Bible here for a second. And then we'll see if we can get our feet on the ground. God created raw milk. Think about it. Boys and girls, when you were sucking on your mommy's little breasty, that milk was raw. It was not pasteurized, homogenized, or tainted in any way. And when a calf is sucking on his mother's teat, he is getting raw milk. Raw milk. Now, that calf thrives on that raw milk, and little babies that are on their mother's breast thrive on breast milk. Now, it is true that we can bucket feed calves and we can bottle feed babies, but when we do that, and if we're paying attention at all, 18-year-old mothers don't because they haven't got anything to base this on, but us old guys, we can do this. We can take a look at the results that come out, and the results that come from breastfeed or natural raw milk is you get about twice the quality and about 10 or 15% greater size in the offspring. So my conclusion is that if I had to make a choice between bucket feeding a calf or letting it suck on the cow, I leave them on the cow. And I get bigger, better, healthier calves. Now, once in a while, you get one that's orphaned and you gotta bucket feed it, and yeah, you can do that. Now, there's a downside, of course, and I've mentioned that time and again. There's a downside that comes from that. Now, leaving that aside, if you were to feed a calf pasteurized milk, it would die. The calf will die on pasteurized milk. And that's what happened in the Weston Price example. They kept breeding these cats back, and as the generations went by, they went sterile, and the whole line of cats died out. All right, now experiments have been done. Those experiments have been documented, and we all know that. And everybody in the know knows that. They're not ignorant. So get that out of your head. They're not ignorant. And so, as I mentioned before, we've got an agenda that we're following over here. But God in the Bible, He gave us raw milk, and He mentions it 45 times. So if you look up the word milk, M-I-L-K, in Strong's Concordance, you'll find 45 locations. So let's start off in location number one. It's in Genesis 18, verse 8. What did God have to say about raw milk? Or what did He have to say about milk in general? And then what does He say about boiling the stuff? You know, there's a little something to be said about that, too. In Genesis 18, verse 8, there's a story here where Melchizedek, a guy that is mentioned in the Bible later, this guy Melchizedek becomes Jesus of Nazareth, you know, the Messiah. When you trace out this genealogy in the history and you go back through time here, you find a guy by the name of Melchizedek. Well, Melchizedek is on his way over to Sodom and Gomorrah. And he's got two angels with him. It's Michael and Gabriel, in case you didn't know. And these three guys are in the human form, and they're actually spirit beings, but, you know, they once in a while manifest themselves to humans, and when they do, they usually appear like flesh and blood human beings. And so they're walking down the road one day, and they pull into Abraham's camp. Abraham, he's one of the patriarchs in the Bible. And they're having a little conversation with him here, and here's the story. It's in Genesis 18, verse 5. I'll give you a little context here. He says, "I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort you, your hearts, and after that you shall pass on. And therefore are you come to your servant?" And they said, "So do, and as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent. Unto Sarah, or into the tent, and unto Sarah, and he said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran unto the herd, and he fetched a calf, tender and good, and he gave it unto a young man, and he said, and he hastened to dress it. So here's Abraham. He goes into his wife, and he says, "Hey, we've got company. Make us some cakes to eat. You know, biscuits. You're gonna have biscuits and gravy." Goes outside and he picks out a calf out of the herd there, and he tells the young man, he says, "Here, kill this calf, dress it out, and let's cook it. We're gonna have dinner. So we're gonna have fresh meat. We're gonna have biscuits." Now here's the verse 8. He says, "And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." All right, now here's God Himself. Here's Jesus of Nazareth. He comes into Abraham's cake. He sits down with Abraham, and he's drinking milk, eating butter, on the biscuits, eating meat, doing it all at the same time. And I don't know how many times I've had people come in and say, "Oh, Mr. Gordon, you don't eat meat and dairy products at the same time, do you?" I think that's a Jewish custom. I don't know if it comes from the Talmud or where it comes from. The answer is yes, I do. I eat meat, I eat butter, I drink milk, and I do it all at the same meal. And I know I'm probably going to go to hell and burn for eternity because I do that. But I got it right here from Genesis 18:8, and I figured if it's good enough for God, it's probably good enough for me. So the next time you come to class and you say, "Oh my God, Mr. Gordon, do you eat meat, milk, and butter all at the same time?" "Yep, I do." Got it right from the Bible. Got it right from God himself. Now, it's probably true that millions of people believe that that's bad for you and you shouldn't do it. And I don't care whether you drink milk, eat butter, and eat meat all at the same time or not. It's irrelevant to me. I do. It comes from the scripture. And if you don't, I don't care. You're not going to offend me. Now, there's number one. Number two, in Exodus 3:17, 3:8, and 13:5, and it follows 17 times in the scripture, where it speaks of a land that flows with milk and honey. 17 of those 45 times talks about a land that flows with milk and honey. Now, milk is a food, and people today drink milk. America flows with milk and honey. We produce a lot of milk and honey. And, of course, the milk of human kindness isn't pasteurized. So let me tell you about this guy. The best book I think I've ever read on the subject of raw milk is written by a guy named William Campbell Douglas, Bill Douglas. And if you go to a Google search and you look up William Campbell Douglas, I think you're going to find his website. And you're going to find a book there called The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. Just jot that down. The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. And this book is a great story to read. Whether you drink pasteurized or raw milk, it's irrelevant. I mean, this guy's a regular comedian. This is one of the funniest books that you're ever going to pick up. I mean, it's just filled with humor. From page 1 to page 209 or whatever number of pages are in it. A great book. You're going to love it. Whether you drink pasteurized milk or not. And that's because the guy's just funny as all get out. He should be in Hollywood. At least on comedy. At least, you know, on Saturday Night Live. That book again is called The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. Alright, now the guy's name is William Campbell Douglas. So now we have Abraham feeding God meat, milk, and butter. So I looked up the word butter, and the word butter appears in the Bible 11 times. And in such places as Isaiah 7:15, butter and honey shall he eat. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 14, he said that he fed Jacob, he fed our people Israel, and our prodigy, that is Israel's children, with butter. Butter's good for you. Butter is fat. Butter is butter fat. Now, let's understand a very important part of law here. The intent of the lawmaker is the law. And the intent of God is to tell you not to eat fat. And three times in the Bible, he tells you not to eat fat. That's animal fat. Do not eat fat. I said three, it's two. In Leviticus 3, verse 17, and in Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 27. That's Leviticus 7, 22 to 27. Twice. Two statutes tell you, do not eat fat. And then we have two other statutes that say in Deuteronomy 32, 14, butter is great for you. And Isaiah 7:15, the butter and honey shall he eat. And right away somebody points out to me, do you know the Bible is filled with contradictions? And you can't rely upon it? I don't know how many times I've heard that. No, the Bible isn't filled with contradictions, and that's not one of them. And there's what we call in law a distinguishing characteristic. So oftentimes the Supreme Court, when they make a decision, will say, this case or these facts are distinguished from those facts. So let's distinguish fat and fat. Animal fat, that is the fat that is in the meat, is not edible. It's not fit for human consumption, and we've been told, don't eat it. Now, your body does need fat, no doubt about it. And there's lots of places for you to get fat. I mean, you can eat oil from nuts. You can have walnut oil and safflower oil and corn oil. There's all kinds of oils. There's vegetable oils. Now, there's also one animal oil called butterfat. butterfat. It's edible and it's consumable and it's distinguishable from the animal fat. And here's what's distinguishable about milk fat, butterfat. There's an enzyme in the butterfat that is not in the animal fat. And this is why this is so crucial. It's because without that enzyme, you cannot digest that fat. And that's why you're told not to eat fat. And that's why you're told not to pasteurize milk in the Bible. And that's because when you heat milk, any milk, you kill that enzyme, you destroy that enzyme, and then you cannot digest the fat. It goes through your stomach lining, lodges in your arteries, and that's why we have such an outrageous amount of heart attack and stroke here in the United States. We are prodigious drinkers of milk. We drink lots of it, homogenized and pasteurized, and it's killing us. So what I've been mentioning to you, I said, listen, this fat thing over here is important. This milk thing over here is really important. The doctors have it right when they say, look, you'd be better off not to drink any milk at all, zero zilch, zero, than to drink pasteurized milk. They all know that. They don't go a step further and explain to you, now, raw milk, clean raw milk is good for you, and it is a tremendous source of vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And I guess it's because it's just too hard to explain to people the distinctions here, as we say in law, the distinguishing characteristics. The animal fat is bad for you because it doesn't have this enzyme. The butterfat does. Now, the butterfat doesn't have the enzyme either as soon as you pasteurize it. And that's why three times, three statutes in Exodus 23:19, Exodus 34:26, and Deuteronomy 14:21, you're told not to boil a kid in his mother's milk. Let's take a look at that and let's analyze it. Exodus 23:19. Flipping over here to Exodus 23, verse 19. This is mentioned three times. Now, the divorce statute in the Bible is mentioned once. Here's a law that is mentioned three times. Now, the more times you see a law put in the scripture, the more important it is. For instance, there's seven places in the Bible that tell you not to eat blood. You're to pour it on the ground. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. You see, blood coursing through the flesh of an animal. It's delivering nutrients and oxygen out to the cells, and it takes back the waste product of the cell, which then later turns into feces in the intestine, in your colon, and is eliminated in your feces. So this blood contains a lot of nasties. A lot of nasties. Blood is full of waste products of your body. And so God comes along and he says, hey, that stuff's really nasty. Do not eat blood. This is why when we kill animals, we cut their throats and we bleed them. And then if you're a Jew, or you're like I am, I'm kind of with the Jews on this one, we kasher the meat. That's called koshering, or it's kosher meat. Kashering is the word. And that's where you soak it in salt water to get the rest of the blood out. And that's what I do here. We bleed the animal, then we freeze it. But if we're going to cook it, that is, we're going to can it, then we soak it in salt water, and that takes the rest of the blood out of the meat. And that's to get rid of those toxins that's in that blood. All right, now there's another toxic waste here in your body, and that's the fat. Now watch this one. Let's suppose you eat something that's got some toxicity, and your body can't dispose of it through your liver right away. So your liver throws it back out into your bloodstream and takes it back out and stores it in your fat. Now you people that are overweight, you people that are packing around a lot of fat, you have a lot of toxins in your body. And if you lose weight suddenly, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die. And you're going to die because it releases all those toxins. It overtaxes your kidneys and liver, and you die from liver failure or kidney failure. And if you don't die from liver or kidney failure, you'll come down with cancer, because now the toxins are loose in your body and your body can't deal with these toxins, and so now it develops a cancer. A cancer tumor is simply the body's defense mechanism to encapsulate those toxins. And sometimes it's an encapsulation of a worm. And that's for those of you that have worms, which about everybody does. Now, this fat, this body fat in your body is designed to absorb those toxins. The toxic waste is stored in that fat. So you got fat on a cow. Well, any toxins that that cow has are stored in that fat. That's why you're told to leave it alone. Don't eat it. Not only don't you have enough hydrochloric acid to digest it, it's full of toxins. Somebody's going to say to me, well, dogs eat it. Well, coyotes eat it. Well, bears eat it. And yeah, those animals are designed to eat it. Buzzards eat it. But you're not designed to eat it. There's bacteria that eats oil, but your body isn't designed to eat oil. I mean, come on, kids, let's grow up. Time to wake up and smell the coffee. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here at the halfway point that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches 8 schools: family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements are recommendations that we give. Don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about raw milk update. Let me give you a couple of sources of information here. I'm going to steer you on to the Brave New Bookstore, bravenewbookstore.com, if you're online, bravenewbookstore.com, or you can call them direct at 512-480-2503. Again, that's area code 512-480-2503. Now, that book I mentioned, William Campbell Douglas and the Milk of Human Kindness Is Not Pasteurized, is carried by Brave New Bookstore, and they'll be in Austin, Texas. That's number one. Now, the subject matter for this week's broadcast or this week's series is the Acres USA magazine. It's 100 pages, comes out every month. It is probably the biggest, best voice for ecologic agriculture in the country, organic growers and so on. If there's anything you want to know about organics and raw foods and natural foods and food and politics concerning agriculture and so on, I can't think of a better publication. They're not the only one, but I can't think of a better one than Acres USA. And always keep in mind that I don't get paid by Acres to plug their publication. I don't get paid by Brave New Bookstore to plug their bookstore. It just happens that they're the best that I know of. I don't know where else you can go to get the information that you want, if indeed you want it. So Acres USA, their phone number is 512. They're also in Austin, Texas. I often wonder, can anything good come out of Austin, Texas? It must. Both Acres and Brave New Bookstore, both in Austin, Texas. The phone number is 512-892-4400. Once more, that's 512-892-4400. I always recommend calling somebody first and then ask them, you know, hey, I want this. It's $5 for the December issue of 2007. The issue you want is December 2007, raw milk update. And Acres, you know, they do that every year. Probably maybe a couple of times a year there'll be an article in there about raw milk or something on that order. So I thought I'd pick that up. It's controversial. People call me here. They ask me about it. They talk about it. And I said, well, let's take it on. Now, in the Bible, listen to this. Exodus 23:19. Are you there yet? There's an odd statute here, 23:19. It says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring unto the house of the Eternal your God, and you shall not seethe a kid in his mother's milk." An odd statement there. Thou, that's you, shalt not, that means don't do that. Seethe, that means boil. A kid, that's a goat, in his mother's milk, that is, seething in milk. Two or three things comes to mind here. What does it mean to see the kid in his mother's milk? Well, it isn't against the law to eat a goat. A kid is a young goat. And you could roast him, you could pan fry him, you could bake him in the oven. You could boil him in water. You could boil this goat if you wanted to. I can't imagine what boiled meat would be like. Maybe it's like boiled cabbage and corned beef, you know, and cabbage. But I've never eaten it. Never ate goat in my life that I can remember. And it's good. It obviously is good. God told you it was good. You could use it for Passover if you wanted to. We typically don't here. We use lambs, but then, you know, if you wanted to use a goat, you could. Now, the way you cook this goat, seethe it, that is, boil it, you can't boil it in his mother's milk. And that's the ambiguous part. Well, okay, I'll boil the kid in milk, but I'll boil him in cow's milk. I'll boil him in sheep's milk. I will boil him in goat milk, but from some other animal other than his mother. Well, listen. I'm not sure that that's what the statute's aiming at. And I've heard constructions, and I've read in the commentaries, you know, their construction of it. If you just pay attention to what it's telling you, it tells you, don't drink boiled milk. The word pasture and pasteurized hadn't been developed yet. Moses hadn't thunk that up. And so he wrote that originally in Hebrew. It was translated into English. It's mentioned three times in the Bible. And I've given you the scientific background. When you boil milk, you destroy the enzyme that you have to digest it. It becomes a toxic poison and kills you. And it gives you diabetes and 15 other diseases. It's bad stuff. It's real bad stuff. But here again, you know, people being people, they're going to do it anyway. Now, the preachers don't come on the scene and give us any clarification on this either. But then that's to be expected, I suppose. I've never met a preacher yet that had sense enough to carry guts to a barrel. I mean, if there's a dumber profession, if there's a dumber group of people than preachers out there, send me an email, let me know who they are. And don't list the school teachers, because I think the preachers have the school teachers beat on this one. Now, I've reported this to you a couple of times in the past. In our society, the dumbest people that we have working in our public schools are the school teachers. Now, why do I know that? Because when you give an IQ test to somebody, you come up with what we call their intelligence quotient. Mine's down around 80, 85, something like that. I never claimed to be very bright. But you know, the brighter people, they score out around 160, 70, 80. I've heard of people that scored up to 200. They call them geniuses, you know, guys like Albert Einstein, you know, they're so damn smart they can't tie their shoes. People get that way. Well, the best and the brightest people in our society are the doctors, the lawyers, and the businessmen in that order. If you take a look at the intelligence of the medical doctors, they're at the top of the heap. Then you take a look at the lawyers. They're not quite as smart as the doctors, but they're pretty damn smart. That's why they're in law. That's where the money's at. And then you got the businessmen. They're not quite as smart as the lawyers. If they were, they'd be lawyers, where the real money's at. But instead, they're in business, so that they can feed the lawyers and the doctors. Now, those are the three top professions. Those are the guys that scored 160, 150, 140 along in there. Then we go on down from there. And as we go down the list, you know, you get the other professions, you know, like the dentists and the engineers and so on. And it goes on down until you get to the school teachers and social workers. They're at the bottom of the heap. Those are the guys that are score, you know, when they go into college, you know, they score all these people, you know, with their SAT tests and what they're going to. I think that's backwards. I think it's just dead backwards. I think that the people that we should be hiring for school teachers are the people with the high IQs that we're now hiring to be doctors. And that's because the money is in doctoring, lawyering, and in business. What you really need to do instead of hiring cheap school teachers, which turns out cheap, dumb students, is that you need to hire the doctors, the lawyers, and the business students, you know, when they go into college. And you need to pay them $500,000 a year to be school teachers. And that your IQ has to be 160, or you can't, or 130, or 140, or something before you can become a school teacher. You've got to be smarter than the students. And we've got this backwards. We've got the dumbest people running our schools. And they're turning out dumb students as a result of it. I mean, hell, half the students can't read their diplomas, for crying out loud. And we're lamenting the fact that Johnny can't read. All right, now, somewhere down below social workers, we find preachers. Preachers. Because the preacher, he reads the Bible and comes to the conclusion that the Ten Commandments are abolished and nailed to the cross until you tell the preacher you want to sleep with his wife, and all of a sudden he wakes up, as dull and dumb as he is, and he says, well, that law hasn't been done away with yet. Well, duh. That's when I want to sleep with your wife. Preacher. Now, you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk, probably 100 years ago or 500 years or 1,000 years ago. Maybe we couldn't figure this out, but we can today, because now with science, we know what happens to the milk when we boil it. It destroys its vitamins and minerals. It turns the milk into a toxic poison. And God told us thousands of years ago not to boil milk. Don't eat boiled milk. Three times. Exodus 23:19, Exodus 34:26, Deuteronomy 14:21. Let me give you an illustration. In Matthew 5:17, here's Jesus. You know, sweet Jesus away in the manger. He makes a statement over here in Matthew 5:17, and he says, "Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And what do the preachers tell you? They say, oh no, the law is abolished, done away with, nailed to the cross with Jesus. He did away with it. I mean, here's the plainest statement that you can see. He says, think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. And what's the first thing the preacher tells you? Jesus came to destroy the law and the prophets. Well, you know, that leaves you with simple choice. I mean, either Jesus is lying or the preacher's lying, one or the other. I mean, they both can't be right, can they? All right, now, you can read these plain statements in the Bible. You'd have to be a dumb preacher to come up to the conclusion that the law has been abolished and done away with after Jesus himself said, don't think that. Now, here's a statement in the scripture that says, you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk, and all of a sudden, the preacher comes along and says, here's what that means. Now, here's one of the explanations that I heard. It's a mistranslation. It says, you shall not see the kid on his mother's milk, which means that you should not eat veal. You should not eat veal. Now, that's one of the explanations that I've heard from a preacher. I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, wait a minute. There isn't anything in the Bible that says there has to be a minimum age to an animal that you eat. Take a look at Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. Those are the two chapters that deal with clean and unclean meats. Nothing about minimum age. It does tell you very plainly, seven times that you're to cut its throat and pour its blood out on the ground. Well, we can see that's pretty plain. Now, this statute here is pretty plain as far as I can see. Now, let's think about this for a second. Let's suppose that I got a hired man out here. And I go up to my hired man and I say, now, hired man, you see that pile of hay over there? There's 30 bales in that pile. Load the 30 bales on the pickup. Take the 30 bales on the pickup over to the barn. Open the barn door, drive the pickup in, and put the 30 bales of hay up in the hay mow. So, I take my journey, and I leave, and I go to the blue room, and I'm drinking beer and playing cards with the boys. I come back home, I go to bed, drunk, bombed out of my mind. The next day I get up, I go out to milk the cows, and the hired man is out there. He's got the cows in the barn, and he's out there milking. And I come out, and I'm kind of groggy, and I'm sitting there maybe milking with him, and I'm chit-chatting, and I say, hey, hired man, did you do what I told you yesterday? He says, yes, sir. Did you take the hay like I told you and load it in the pickup? Yes, sir, I did. And then, did you take the hay over to the barn? No, sir, I didn't. And I say, well, where did you take it? And the hired man says, well, I took it out into the field, and I cut the bales open, and I spread it out and fed it to the cows. And I say to the hired man, but didn't I tell you to put it in the barn? And he says, yes, you did. You told me to take it over, put it in the barn in the haymow. But I got to thinking about that, boss, and I said to myself, well, what's the purpose for hay? It's to feed the cows. And here's the 30 bales. Now, if we're going to feed this hay to the cows, we might as well feed the hay to the cows right now. So I took the hay out in the field and I fed it to the cows, which is what we were going to do with the hay anyway. Isn't that right, boss? And I'd have to say, well, yeah, that's what we were going to do. We were going to feed it to the cows. But I didn't want to feed it to the cows in July. I wanted to feed it to the cows in January when there isn't any grass. Now you've taken it out into the field and fed it to the cows. The cows won't eat it because they got grass to eat, and it'll just go to waste out in the field. You dumb, slothful servant. You know, that's the way humans are. You read the scripture and it tells you what to do. Or it tells you what not to do. And people come to the exact opposite conclusion. The exact opposite conclusion. I don't care what it is about the Bible. If God told you to stand up, you'd sit down. If he told you to sit down, you'd stand up. If he told you to come here, you'd run away. It's been that way all your life. Hell, nothing's new. But I just wanted to point this out because what happens here is when you see this statement, and you've seen it three times in the Bible here, you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. Now with science, now with the study of milk and all the proteins that go into milk and the enzymes that are in the milk. I told you the story about old Doc Lester who put me on cream. I had a heart attack, you know. He says, well, now, the reason you had this heart attack, he said, is because you're drinking homogenized pasteurized milk. Do you think that old Doc Lester is the only doctor in America that knew that pasteurized milk plugs up your arteries? Oh, no, boys and girls, let me tell you. Every doctor in America knows that. And if he doesn't know that, then as a matter of law, he knew or should have known. He'd have to be stupid not to know that. Do you think that George Gordon is the only guy in America that knows this? That I'm coming on the air? Oftentimes people say to me, well, I don't believe that. Why? How come they haven't told us? Who in the hell is this they that should be telling you all of this inside information? Who is this mysterious they would have told us? Did you think that was the Mid-America Dairy? Did you think that was Senator Kennedy? Or Dianne Feinstein? Or George Bush? Or maybe the head of the American Medical Association? Are these the mythical theys that would have told you this if it was worth knowing? Huh? Now, there are some ignorant people out there. I don't deny it. But it's not the medical doctors. Now they know what happens when you boil milk. And hell, we could have known this. The preachers could have told us that. You know, the preacher could have said a long time ago, he said, well, look, it says right here in the Bible that you shall not boil or see the kid in his mother's milk. That says to me that, do you really think that pasteurizing milk is a good idea, since how the Bible three times tells you not to do that? You don't have to be a hell of a smart. You just have to be a little bit smart, you know, to figure out that, well, gee, maybe there's something about boiling milk. Is there something about eating goat? Or is it something about the way you cook the goat? Or is it something about the way you cook the goat and what you cook the goat in? So as we say in law, the distinguishing characteristic here is the milk and the boiling. It doesn't say you can't boil the kid. It doesn't say you can't boil him in water. Hell, you could boil him in whiskey, for crying out loud. It doesn't tell you not to boil him in whiskey or water or vodka. It tells you not to boil him in milk. Now, surely that ought to send a signal to us, shouldn't it? It doesn't, but it seems like to me it ought to. So I just thought I'd put that one out there for you. Now mull that one over a little bit. Now over in Proverbs, there's a couple of statements made over here that might help us with our understanding. It's in Proverbs 14, verse 12. And it tells a little something about human nature. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Boys and girls, it just made all the sense in the world to pasteurize milk in 1895. And that's because raw milk was killing 8,000 babies a year in New York City. They were dying from typhoid fever, cholera, and various other consumptive diseases, various other contagious diseases. And as a result of that, some guy woke up one day, remember it was Strauss, the guy that ran Macy's department store, and he said, what we need to do is we need to boil all this milk over here and solve this typhoid problem. And it does. Oh, God, it does. He's right about that. He didn't lie to you. He told you the truth. But what Mr. Strauss and a number of others at that time did not know was the enzymes and the net result of boiling milk was going to be. But over time, from 1895 to about 1950, as guys like Pottinger and others began studying the results of pasteurized milk by feeding it to animals and coming up with their studies. Everybody, boys and girls, knows about Pottinger and Weston A. Price. There aren't any doctors in this country. There aren't any doctors in the world that don't know about Pottinger and Weston A. Price. You might not have ever heard of them, but you can rest assured your doctor does. Now, just like the preachers over here, they feign ignorance. it's kind of like your senators and representatives. They just kind of feign ignorance, like, oh, God, we just don't know how to balance the federal budget. We just don't know how to live within our means. You know, we don't know what we're going to do about all this deficit spending over here. Oh, no, no. Boys and girls, you all know what causes deficit spending. It's spending more than you take in. And all those senators and representatives and the president and everybody else knows exactly how to balance the budget. They don't balance the budget because they have an agenda. They got an end game plan that they're working on. The end game plan is to bankrupt the United States of America so that they can put you into such desperate straits in the coming Great Depression that you will stand in line to get your mark of the beast in your right hand and in your forehead. A lot of you people are sitting out there saying, oh, not me. I know about the mark of the beast. I'll never go get the mark of the beast. I'm telling you, boys and girls, you will stand in line all night to get your mark. Now, that's just the way the real world works. And the people that are doing this to you know exactly what they're doing, and they know why they're doing it, because they've got an agenda. The deficit spending is a part of an agenda. Pasteurized milk is part of an agenda. And it works like a shot. You people are all sick, you're all fat, and you can't figure out why because you can't connect the dots. And you honest to God believe it's because these are ignorant doctors. But we're going to go out and educate them. We're going to go out and teach Dick Armey. Yes, sir, we'll show Dick Armey. We'll explain it to him. There's only one guy in the Congress that's got his head screwed on straight, and his name is Ron Paul. The only one I know of. Now, there might be two or three others, but there isn't a half a dozen in the whole damn Congress. 535 of them, there isn't five of them there that's got their head screwed on straight. Now, Ron Paul is one of them. He puts out a newsletter. You can probably get it off the internet. Just type in Ron Paul. And he will give you some of the neat information as an insider in the Congress as to what the Congress is doing and doing to you and when, why, and how. So I just tuck that one away in your heart and see how that one works out. Keep in mind that there's a way that seems right to us, boys and girls. God mentioned this twice, by the way. Proverbs 16:25 says the same thing. But when you get down on the bottom line, the way that seems right to a man ends in death. And in this case, it's called pasteurized milk. Hey, I'm running out of time again. I'm going to have to leave it right there by reminding you that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, remember our website is georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling site, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.